translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Prabhupada. So, this is Queen Kunti speaking here, and she carries on saying, O Gadadhar Krishna, our kingdom is now being marked by the impressions of your feet, and therefore it appears beautiful. But when you leave, it will no longer be so. Purport. There are certain particular marks on the feet of the Lord which distinguish the Lord from others. The marks of a flag, thunderbolt, and instrument to drive an elephant, umbrella, lotus, disc, etc., are on the bottom of the Lord's lotus feet. These marks are impressed upon the soft dust of the land where the Lord traverses, the land of Hastinapur. The land of Hastinapur was thus marked with the Lord Sri Krishna, was there with the Pandavas, and the kingdom of the Pandavas thus flourished by such auspicious signs. Kunti Devi pointed out these distinguished features and was afraid of ill luck in the absence of the Lord. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurumalitam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadam Ayam Dadati Svapadandikam Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasti Gaur Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Mukham Karoti Vachalam Pangalam Yaiti Girim Yakripa Tamaham Vande Shiguru Dinatarinam. By the mercy of the spiritual master, a lame man can cross mountains. By the mercy of the spiritual master, a blind man can see stars in the sky. And by the mercy of the spiritual master, a dumb man like me can speak something eloquently. I offer my humble obeisances to the lotus feet of my spiritual master. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Srimati Tamala Krishna Goswamini Tinamini. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Tinamini. Namaste Sarasati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paskata Desitare. And I offer my humble obeisances to all of you sitting here trying to get something from a frog like me. Vancha kalpatrubhyascha kripa sindubhyava cha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namah. So, we'll repeat the verse again. Kunti Devi speaking to Lord Krishna. O Gadadhar Krishna, our kingdom is now being marked by the impressions of your feet, and therefore it appears beautiful. But when you leave, it will no longer be so. So, Queen Kunti it's actually praying to the Lord, yeah, and lamenting because the Lord is about to go. The past times they've been almost, they're winding up. The Lord is actually leaving for Dwarka, for his last mission. And what is the last thing that the Lord will do in Dwarka? Anybody remember? Something before he went away. Yes, that's the one. He instigated a war between the Yadavas to destroy the Yadu dynasty. Then after that, he went. Of course, a little bit early, here they are just they just finished the last rites for the sons of Draupadi. And all these great personalities, they were present. All the Pandavas, Narada Muni was there. And Kunti Devi, of course, she's the one speaking here. Lord Krishna. And Dhritarashtra, Gandhari. They were all there offering oblations to all the departed souls, and especially the children of Draupadi. And then, just when the Lord is about to go, Uttara is running towards him. Uttara is the daughter-in-law of Arjuna. That's correct. She got married to the boy, the son of Arjuna, Abhimanyu, and she was pregnant with Maharaj Parikshit in her embryo. But just at that time, Ashwatthama, he wanted to destroy every single, the last bits of the legacy of the Pandavas. He wanted to, actually, there is a say, when if you do something to a person, it will hurt that person. But if you do something to the Priti Lakshana, to someone who is dear to that person, then it's more painful. If you do something to the son of a person, to make that person suffer. So Krishna is like that, you know, an offense to him he tolerates, but to his devotee he suffers. So Ashwatthama wanted actually the Pandavas to suffer, and he wanted to destroy this little baby that later on became Maharaj Parikshit. Because of him, we have a Srimad Bhagavatam. So Uttara took shelter of the Lord, and the Lord, with his Sudarshan Chakra, protected the embryo. It is said that in the same, we have already studied it, that yes, the body of Maharaj Parikshit became burned by the Brahmastra, became destroyed. He got killed. The body of Maharaj Parikshit got killed, but the soul was protected. And Lord Krishna gave a new body, golden complexion. That is, I remember sometime back I was editing the first canto of the illustrated Bhagavatam of Ajamil Prabhu. And he put in, you know, that Maharaj Parikshit became protected by the Lord. He could not be killed. But that's not a fact. Actually, Prabhupada said he got killed, but the Lord gave him another body. So we had to change the statement. So the Lord, with his Sudarshan Chakra, protected the new body. He gave a new body, and Prabhupada said, this is the proof of the reincarnation, that the soul can accept a next body if the one before is useless. So then, straight after that, the Lord was again just about to go, and he got stopped by Queen Kunti. And that's when she's offering those prayers. And she's saying that the footprints that you have left behind in Hastinapur, they're very beautiful. Because of these footprints, everything is flourishing, grains, vegetables, nice rain, the land is producing minerals, gold, and beautiful. But she says, I'm afraid now that when you go, everything will not be the same again. I remember when my spiritual master passed away, I had some slippers. I still have them. So I would give it to him every time he come and stay with us. And very beautiful. They had, because he was using them, they were like alive. But then when he passed away, and I came back home from Mayapur, they looked just like ordinary pair of shoes. They lost some kind of beauty, and they were lifeless. You know, it's not the same anymore. You see the clothes, the paraphernalia of someone that you love, and it's different. If the person is gone, isn't it? But if the person is alive, you know, you see some life in these clothes, in the shoes. Just like, you know, if your son is away or your wife is away and the clothes are there, you know that they're going to be, there is some kind of consciousness in it. They're alive. But if you know that the person is not coming back anymore, then there's something missing. We don't know what it is, but that beauty is gone. So that was the feeling of Kunti. And Kunti, she's praying to the Lord very beautifully, giving the best of Uttama Sloka, the best sloka, the best prayers. So much so that we have books, teachings of the Queen Kunti. They're the cream of devotion. Such a humble soul. She suffered all her life. Since a young age, the husband passed away, and she was entrusted with the children of the husband and also the co-wife, Madri, because two of her children, Nakula and Sahadev, they were the sons of Madri, and then Bhima, Arjuna, and Yudhisthira, they were her own son. And you can see how much a struggle is for a single mom to raise children. One child. It's like they have to get social security and housing benefit, or they have to get medicine, everything paid for. It's very difficult. Because to look after one child, it's full-time job. But five children? Not only that, she was princess, but she was stripped off of everything. Everything. And this is not a fairy tale. It's not something that we read. A Mahabharat, it's just a story. It's actually reality. It happened. Kunti struggled. And they were bound to the forest for 13 years, just like Lord Ram. And not only that, they were harassed. They construct a house, and they were build a house of luck, and they tried to burn them up, all of them. They poisoned Bhima. They tried anything and everything to destroy this single mom with her kids. And who were they? Their own cousins. Just the same member of the family. So there was actually no enjoyment from the Pandavas. All their life was a struggle. There was no sense gratification at all. They were always protecting themselves, well, not protecting themselves, sheltering themselves to Krishna. And the only shelter they had was the Lord, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. As a friend, as a well-wisher, as a protector. You can see the people in the fourth canto of the Bhagavatam, the description of King Puranjan is something very interesting. The natural tendency for a man is to actually being, he feels protected by these three powerful friends, loyal friends, which are, does anybody remember? They're very loyal to the Puranjan, to the soul, to the body. It's arrogance, pride, and false ego. These are very powerful friends. And people, they feel protected by on the strength of these friends. But here, we have later on you will see that there was no trace, they didn't have these friends, Kunti and the Pandavas. One is said that one has to be disabled from these friends. One has to be disabled to become helpless in order to receive the protection of Krishna. So Queen Kunti and the Pandavas, they didn't have a pride, they didn't have false ego, they didn't have arrogance. So therefore, I was reading, when I was flipping through this morning, and I saw something, and later on there will be the passing away of Bhishma Dev, because what happened that Lord Krishna was just about, after speaking to Kunti, he's heading towards Dwarka, and then again he's stopped by Yudhisthira. And Yudhisthira offers some prayers to the Lord, and then takes him to the spot where Bhishma Dev is dying. And he said, we have to give our last, we have to see this great personality, Bhishma Dev, and he wants to see you before you go. And Bhishma Dev, the very first thing he says, when he opens his mouth, if he sees the Pandavas, and then he actually starts to cry, and the very first thing he says something about, that's the one, about addressing Kunti and the Pandavas. He didn't even address Krishna. He's feeling, he's crying because his tears of happiness and also sorrow. Happiness that these children, they are safe now. This single mother, Kunti, is safe. And also because of sorrow for what they went through. Bhishma Dev said, oh, I put my glasses here. As far as my daughter-in-law, Kunti, is concerned, upon the great General Pandu's death, she became a widow with many children, and therefore she suffered greatly. And when you were grown up, she suffered a great deal also because of your actions. Prabhupada says in the purport, the suffering of Kunti Devi are doubtfully lamented. She suffered greatly because of early widowhood and to get her minor children brought up in a royal family. And when her children were grown up, she continued to suffer because of her son's actions. So her sufferings continued. This means that she was destined to suffer by providence. And this one has to tolerate without being disturbed. Then Bhishma Deva said, Oh, what a terrible sufferings and what a terrible injustice. You good souls suffer for being the sons of religion personified. You did not deserve to remain alive under the tribulations. Yet you were protected by the Brahmins, protected by God and religion. So Bhishma Dev, he could understand that this family went, he felt for them, you know, now they've suffered so much, but now he was shedding some tears of joy because the whole thing was finished. But you can see that beautiful prayers of Queen Kunti, they came out from this field of suffering. There is a say great realization and great devotion only grows in the field of suffering. Whereas great calamities and bad things, they only grow in the field of sense gratification. Sinful activities, for example. Pushed by lust, anger, greed, those are born from the field of sense gratification. So when we engage in austerity or we are suffering, it in one sense is good because suffering, it's purification, is another form of it's a form actually of austerity, because you cannot enjoy when you are suffering. Shishirada Gokulananda ki jaya. When you touch the bottom of the ocean, you know, when you're going down and down, and then you touch the bottom, you can only go up afterwards. So suffering is like that. You touch the surface of your desperation, but then people, you know, if they are intelligent, some people, they take their lives because they can't tolerate it. So good things are from suffering. You know, like my son Goranga, he went through some problem with his arm, and you know, but it's been great sign of realization for him. You know, he's appreciating. On Gopurnim day, we were talking about Lord Chaitanya, and it was like I didn't see him as my son, but I saw him as an old sage of thousands of years old. You know, talking about expressing his love for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So sometimes we think, oh, this is my son, or that's my daughter, this is my father. But they don't belong to us. They belong to Krishna. Krishna is just like Queen Kunti here. Later on, she's offering a prayer, you know, please give me the detachment from this so-called family. Sometimes I become identified, you know, with the Pandavas, they're my children. But actually, this is sentimental attachment. They belong to you, they've been created by you. So really, the protector is you, not me. So she felt that she was not really protecting her children. Sometimes, you know, a proud father or a proud mother, they think, oh, I raised my family very nicely, I've been protecting them. But actually that's not, it's the Lord. Either they're protected by their own karma or by the mercy of the Lord. In the situation of a devotee family, we are all protected by the Lord. So there is no worry. Of course, we don't run away from responsibility. But One thing is that we have to understand that our children, our wives, even our own life, it's all in the hands of the Lord, and He's the protector. But the lesson to be learned from this is that one has to become completely helpless to gain the protection of the Lord. And helpless means, as I said before, you have to become materially disabled. Materially disabled means that you don't depend anymore upon your own strength. How strong I am, how intelligent I am. But, you know, when you think that I'm weak, this early on here, how Queen Kunti, she was qualified to be protected by the Lord. It's in the beginning of this chapter, very interesting. Number 8. All the members of the family of the Pandavas were completely dependent on the protection of the Lord, and therefore the Lord protected all of them in all circumstances. The Lord protects everyone. See, that's Samoham Sarvabhuteshu Namedvijastina Priya. He's equal to everyone, so therefore his protection is for everyone. But, there is a but here, one who depends completely upon him is especially looked after by the Lord. The father is more attentive to the little son who is exclusively dependent on the father. That means that, you know, if you have a bunch of children and there is a weak one or a disabled one, then the family, they pay extra attention, isn't it? The father pays extra attention. Like I was boarding the plane from Mumbai to Delhi, and there was this family, and one of the younger child was on a wheelchair. So the very first thing, you know, that the mother and the father, they, you know, they were actually helping the child, you know, to board the plane. And then all the other children, there was about 3-4 of them, they were all behind looking after themselves. See, that's the thing. When we are strong material, we have all the faculty, then we think we are independent. We don't need help from anybody. But the disabled child, he got all the help and attention. He was free from worry because my mom and daddy, they're doing everything for me. So if we dovetail, you know, this scenario in Krishna consciousness, and we think, I've got no strength, no intelligence, I've got no, you know, pride or ego or arrogance. I don't want to depend upon these, Prabhupada calls them fallible soldiers, isn't it? They're strong. They, you know, people, they become very powerful by being protected by these soldiers, but they collapse. Eventually they collapse. Pride is smashed down by somebody else or by the providence. Arrogance, false ego, people becoming powerful, very wealthy, but then they lose everything. So they're fallible soldiers. But when you don't have these things, then you are actually depending completely upon the mercy of Krishna. So that's why Kunti and the Pandavas, they were so powerful because they had the power principle behind them. They had the For example, when the demoniac people, they believe in the power of Krishna, or the power of God, the wealth of God. Everybody wants to enjoy the wealth of God, but they don't want God as their protector. They want to be protected by his power, beauty. Like Duryodhana and Arjuna, when they went to ask Krishna to help them to fight, Duryodhana, being less intelligent, he wanted the Yakshayini of Krishna. So he took all the army. And he told, you know, he became more powerful. So he was more interested about the energy of God rather than God himself. Whereas Arjuna, Krishna said, you know, I've got nothing now to give you. So what can I get? He said, no, I want you. And Krishna said, I can't even fight. He said, it doesn't matter. I will drive you. Krishna said, I can only be a charioteer. He said, it doesn't matter as long you are on my side, even if you can't fight. See, that's the thing. Even though God was inactive, he was actually impassive. He was not engaging in anything. But still, without any action, Krishna made Arjuna winning the battle of Kurukshetra. What to speak if the Lord was going to fight? Right? If the Lord was going to fight to on the side of the Pandavas, he would have, you know, in few seconds, he would have wiped out all the enemies. So, but to reassure Duryodhana, the less intelligent one, don't worry, I'll only be a charioteer, I give you my word, I will not fight. So Duryodhana was actually, he won a lottery, you know, he thought victory was secured. But the little that he knew, that if you got the Lord on your side, either he will act or not act, you're always a winner. So, people, we have to try to understand what are the protective principles, which ones are valid and which ones are weak. So, less intelligent people, they take shelter in the pride, arrogance, and false ego. And that's how they feel powerful and strong. But intelligent one, like devotees, they take off all this identification, and they completely depend on the mercy of Krishna. And that's why we say akinchana. Akinchana in one sense, it means one who has no material protection, no material possession, right? One who is without material possession. One has to be disabled, crippled materially to actually get the power of Krishna, the protection of Krishna. And that was the qualification of Kunti and the Pandavas. So it's 3 minutes to 8:30, and we'll leave these 3 minutes to you. If you have any questions, comment.